tell you what, I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is going to do. Those young men, am I not working? Check 1, 2, 3, 4. Mic check. Oh, there we go. I must have hugged a kid, knocked my mic down under my chin. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what God's doing here and that we are seeing men be formed into men of God. And let me tell you, they're not waiting until they're men to do that. It starts when they're like 6 or 7 years old. Where you men of God who are here, let me say this. Every one of those young men can name, I guarantee you, 5 to 10 men in this church who you've been an influence in their life. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you men that are here for being that influence, being that manly influence, because that's what we want. It's time that we as men of God petition God to rescue this world through men of God, because that's what He designed. That we would step up and be the leaders in this world that God has called us to be. So I pray that you would do that. I pray that you would continue to pray for the young men, because let me tell you, this is the start of a good thing. This is the start, like I said, of an answered prayer. And even before Bobby Clark. If I lose it, pardon me. I'm going to get to the message. Anybody in a hurry? If you're in a hurry, you ought to be Methodist. It's just a joke. If you're one of our Methodist friends here today, sprinkle to you. Here's the thing. Before Bobby Clark and I ever prayed in that breezeway over there, there was a little kid in a little town called Crossett, Arkansas. Called him in my bedroom. Him and his sister and mom, we came in there and I said, guys, of course Brandy and I had already talked about it. I didn't just drop it on her like this. God was leading me to come back here and to be a part of this work here at Key Life. And I let Jake know, hey, bud, we're moving. We're moving to Texas. God's going to do something new there. We get to be a part of it. And the first prayer that ever happened for Key Life Fellowship before anybody knew of anything called Key Life Fellowship was with that little guy right there who was playing the drums with us and my family. And of course, his first question was this: do I get to play football at New Caney? And he didn't. We lived in Porter. But let me say this: he did get to play at Porter. He did get to play for a man. And he's going to get mad at me for saying this. But he played for a man who influenced his life. I want to say thanks, Coach, for influencing the men that you do, the way that you walk and carry your life. Y'all don't know Coach Jim Holly. Y'all need to meet him. He'll tell you he's nothing special, but you just hang around him a little while and you'll see. God's blessed him with the ability to do things that a lot of us can't do. But I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to the rest of these men. The Joshes, the Doug Carrolls, Chance Winters, Bo Stewarts. He's got both his pawpaws here that raise these young men up. Because what you don't know and what you don't realize, and I promise I'm going to get to my message, get over all my sentimental crying garbage in a second. But what you don't realize, that was a little kid's prayer. Everything around you, a little kid's prayer about 10 years ago. We've seen lives change. Before we ever knew a Jacob Carroll or Dallas Johnson, we pray for those little guys to come to know Christ. Those little guys are men. Let me say this. If the day I went home to be with Jesus, I got to see it. I got to see it. And I can't wait to see it again. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with these little guys here. And all those kids we just took to preteen camp as He raises up an army of leaders for His kingdom, for His glory. So y'all pray for them. Amen? All right, I'm done with all my sentimental daddy garbage. Those are my buddies, and I'm going to miss them. You have your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Y'all just rather sit here and watch me cry and make fun of me, wouldn't you? Huh? Yes. We're going to continue to look at the strangers that Peter has been talking about. We're going to look at God's mercy toward the strangers. And I want you to understand something. That we're strangers and we've been made into this people group that no longer belongs in this world because of the mercy of God. How many of you understand that? Anyone here? Because of the mercy of God, and without the mercy of God, if had He not shown us mercy by sending His Son to die on a cross for us, to forgive us and to rescue us from the people that we initially belonged to, the condemned people of this world. How many of you understand that's who you belong to? Had it not been for God's mercy, we would have never been this people group. And Peter's going to continue to teach us about being a stranger. And he wants us to see this morning God's mercy toward the strangers. I want to examine that because that mercy is what makes us into a people. And what I want to do, I want to see the people that mercy should make us into. And I want you to examine your life and ask yourself, am I that kind of person? Have I received the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ? And has it affected me and made me into what Peter says that a people or a person of God will be made into? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, he says this. We left off at 3 last week. He says this, as you come to Him, the living stone, talking about Jesus, he said, rejected by men, but chosen by God. How many of you understand when Jesus came, He was rejected by His own? The very people that He came to rescue spit in His face and pulled His beard from that same face. They ridiculed and they mocked Him. He said He was chosen by God and precious to Him. You also, like living stones, referring again to the strangers because He started this letter addressed to us. He says, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Those are the works that we do from a heart of worship. Does everybody understand that? The works we do from a heart of worship. He said, you are giving spiritual sacrifice that's acceptable to God through Jesus. Did you know? No more sacrifices are acceptable to God unless they come through Jesus. Unless it is the work of Jesus being done in and through you. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message. What's the message? The gospel of Jesus Christ. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Weren't we all before Jesus Christ interrupted our life with His grace? But you, talking to you strangers again, I wish you people would get excited about what we're reading here. He said, but you are a chosen people. Watch this, dirty old Kirk, because of the grace and mercy of God the Father through Jesus Christ. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. That's what we're here to do. To declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into wonderful light. Once you were not a people, pay attention, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy. How many of you remember those days? Once you had not received mercy, but now, man, I'm thankful for the but nows. Once you had not received mercy, what does that mean? If we go back to what we just read a second ago, I was destined to perish. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Watch this. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and, say it with me, strangers. Here's that word again. I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. He says this in verse 12, and this is where we're going to park today. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Let's look at this together and let's examine how God, through His mercy, has raised up a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And what does that really look like, or what should it look like? And let's examine ourselves. Does it look like that in my life? Because the first thing that He tells us is this. that He is going to raise up a people of a precious Savior. How many of you here have a precious Savior? How many of you understand? There should be nothing more valuable to us, the strangers who are in this room. Nothing more precious. I love that He uses the word precious, because when we look at that word precious, here's the thing. Invaluable. You can't put a price on it. It is bigger and greater and more important than anything that you could ever imagine. He says, you have a precious Savior. So I ask you this, are you living your life? Because we're talking about life here. As if you have a precious Savior. He talks about the precious Savior, a people of a precious Savior. He then talks to us about a people of the providence of God. How many of you are thankful that the providence of God rules your life and not your own desire and your own plan and your own dreams and your own goals? I get so sick and tired of these TV preachers telling people to dream and have goals. Stop that. Watch this. Listen to me. Live in God's providence. And stop shortchanging yourself with earthly goals. Live in the perfect will of God. You say, well, wait a second, preacher. That contradicts everything my professor in college taught me. Throw it in the trash. It's garbage if you're a believer. You're a stranger. That professor's of the world. That guy was teaching you how the world thought. Here's the thing. The Word of God is teaching us differently here. We are to be a people made up of God's providence, His perfect plan, His perfect will for our lives, for our family, for our community, for this church. We're to be a people of a precious Savior, a people of the providence of God, a people of praise toward God. We're going to get to this in a minute. Because we can't praise Him enough, and we don't near praise Him enough. And then we're going to see a people of purity for God. A people of purity for God, for His glory, for His praise. So let's look at this. A precious Savior from God, verses 4 through 8, told us this. We're going to look at it again. He says this in verse 4, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him. Jesus, a Savior from God, precious to God, now is personal to us, is not only a Savior from God, He's a Savior for God. How many of you know that God was pleased to send His Son into this earth to rescue man for God? And that it pleased the Father, and I can't really quite comprehend this. It pleased the Father that Jesus Christ went to the cross and He endured what He endured so that men could be rescued by the sacrifice of Jesus. So not only what is God's Word teaching us that Jesus was precious to God, He says He's also a precious Savior to us. Let's keep reading. 4 says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. That Jesus is that precious foundation that was given to us by God. He said that precious cornerstone. Many of you have never been over to Israel. Some of you have. When you get there and you look at the walls, there's these big stones toward the bottom. And they hold the weight of that whole wall. They hold the weight of that whole city. Those are the cornerstones. Those are the foundation that everything is built on. That's what He's referencing here. He's saying He's a precious foundation. How many of you are thankful for the precious foundation of Jesus Christ in your life since you were born again? Listen, don't let that stop being precious to you. It's sad that we live in a church age where Jesus is just a footnote at the end of something we call a sermon. Jesus is the most precious thing, or should be the most precious thing, to all of us who know Him. He is better than the air that we breathe. He is better than the water that we drink. Listen to this. He's more important than your precious little children. He's more important than your precious wife or your precious husband. He is the precious foundation of everything. Because I promise you, when all those things fall apart, and sometimes they do, your precious job, your precious career, your precious education, you're going to realize the only thing that you can build your life on that's going to stand is the precious Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. So as we look at this, I want you to see we need to be a people of a precious Savior. A Savior who is like we saw here, the foundation of those who believe, but also the stumbling block to those who reject. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says something interesting. And a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. What in the world does that mean in English? Here's the thing. What he's telling us is this. For those of us who know Jesus Christ, I mean who truly know Him, our life will be built on that precious foundation of Jesus Christ, and we will value that more than anything. To those of you who are not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, let me give you a warning here. You have already stumbled. You have already fallen. You have already, listen to me, pay attention, been condemned because of your sin. And here's the thing, when people reject Jesus Christ, here's the thing. They stumble because there is no more payment for sin. You can't earn it. You can't go out and buy it. You can't do enough to get it. The thing is, you have to understand this. He's precious to us. What are we talking about here today? Only because He came by God's mercy. And those of you who reject the mercy of God because Jesus is not precious to you, let me tell you, you stumble. And I'm going to break the news to you. It's going to hurt your feelings. Especially if you don't like the truth. You will stumble for all eternity in a place called hell that's prepared for those who reject Jesus Christ. I know, preacher, we don't like all that hellfire brimstone stuff. Well, here's the deal. You can erase it from your Bible, take it out if you want to, but I promise you this, the one that I read, it's still there. And without Jesus Christ, according to what we read just a moment ago, we're already in big trouble. That's why Jesus is so precious to me. Why is He precious to you? Here's the thing. Because I didn't deserve the love that He gives me. I didn't deserve the forgiveness that He gives me. I don't deserve every blessing that I have in God through Christ. But here's the thing. His mercy and His grace has given it to me in spite of me. How precious is that? That He loved me when I was at my most unlovable position. He loved me so much that He rescued me through His mercy. You see, we need to be a people of a precious Savior. When people ask you about why, are you different? Oh, I don't know, because my parents raised me good. Bam, wrong answer. I'm different because of the precious cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has built me a new life on Him. I once was lost, and now I've been rescued through Jesus and His sacrifice, and that is the most precious thing to me. People say, man, what keeps you going? Jesus Christ. What is your life really all about, Kirk Hall? Jesus Christ. Why do you pastor a church? Watch the answer. Jesus Christ. Why do you get up every day? Jesus Christ. Why do you want to do the right thing when it's so easy to not do the right thing? Watch this. Newsflash. Jesus Christ. He's precious to me. Why? Because He rescued me when He didn't have to. Because He showed me mercy when I didn't deserve it. Because He lavishes grace upon me when I, listen, watch this. When I willfully spit in His face, when I willfully rejected Him by my life, He loved me in spite of me, and He rescued me at my lowest. You say, why do you always remind people of that? Because when we remember that, we see how precious He is. We live in a day and age where preachers want to tell you all kind of stuff, that you're here and you've arrived and all this other garbage. Here's the thing. I haven't arrived. I'm not going to arrive till Jesus brings me home. Here's the thing, because He's going to complete the work He started. It's all about Him. In the meanwhile, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand in awe of my precious Savior. And as a people who are strangers in this world, the world ought to know that Jesus is precious to us. He's not just some tag that we throw on things. He's not just something that we come and participate in on Sunday. He is our precious Lord. And there's nothing, listen, there's nothing that compares to Him. And let me say this, you're not going to fool anybody if you're faking it. He's either you're all in all or He's not, you're anything. He's precious. We see a people of a precious Savior. Then we see, secondly, a people of the providence of God. Look at verse 9. I'm going to look at the first part, and then I'm going to skip the second part of 9, but I'm going to come back to it. Because 9, the first part, and 10 go together. And I want you to see that. He said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. In verse 10, and I'm going to get back to 9, I promise, I'm not leaving it out. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Can I say this to you today? Without getting into more theological debates, a chosen people. That's what the Word of God just said. God's providence. Is it not the same God who said, I'll have mercy on who I have mercy on? You don't get to decide who I have mercy on. Let me tell you this. I didn't deserve for Him to have mercy on me, but He chose to have mercy on me. Can anybody rewrite that to make that say anything different? It's God's providence. Here's the thing. When I was lost in my sin and in myself, the providence of God came searching for Kirk Hall. Are you listening to me? Came searching for me. And it was the providence of God who opened up my blinded eyes to show me my need for a Savior. Watch this. It was the providence of God that gave me the faith to trust in Jesus Christ as that Savior. It was the providence of God, listen to me, to give me the ounce of strength and energy, the ounces of strength and energy that it took to surrender to Him that day. Remember that battle? Man, if I give in, or man, if I don't. Listen, it was the providence of God that gave me the strength to give in to the Savior who was drawing me. He did it all. Why? Because I was His. I just didn't know it yet. I met this girl in about the seventh grade at church camp. She was gorgeous. She was going to be my girlfriend. She just didn't know it yet. And I'll never forget, man, we sat in this little family group. And I tried to impress her every way I could. Tried to use my muscles. It didn't work. I've always struggled in that area. So I was like, well, all girls like funny guys, so I'll be funny. But that became obnoxious, right? Because I'm pretty good at that too. So seventh grade, she was in eighth grade, way too old for me. She's still way too old for me. That was seventh grade, she was in eighth grade. I was like, man, I choose her. She said, you don't choose nothing, Jack. She used this word on me. This is the, listen, junior high girls, don't say this to guys. This is the insult of all insults. You're just a little immature. What does that mean? I was in seventh grade. What, do you want me to be 40? Huh? What she didn't know, I already chose her. She's just going to have to get on board. Okay? Watch this. 2 years later, I guess I matured so much because I was a freshman in high school. And you know how mature they are. She saw the light. Right? Came knocking on my door. But back then it was double pop college, right? You say, why are you making funny stories? Here's the thing. I'm not making a funny story. I'm giving you an illustration so you can see something. Here's the deal. Y'all going to think I'm crazy? When I was about 14 years old, that pretty thing out there became my girlfriend, right? We were dating. My daughter's like, can I date him? Yeah, really? You're not going anywhere with a boy until you're 30. You can call it dating. You can call it skipping through the park with a jump rope. You're not going to a park with it. But the thing is, here's the deal. I'll tell you this right now. I knew at 14 years old. She didn't know it yet. That's going to be my wife one day. That's crazy, I know, right? Here's the thing. I chose her. She didn't know it. She saw the light one day. Here's the thing. God chose you. You didn't know it. And then one day you saw the light. He showed you all your life. It's cool, man. I love to look back on my life when I was lost and dead in my sin and see where God was working in His providence the whole time so that I would get to a point where I realized, man, God's been working this whole thing out my whole life. My whole life, from the day that I came out of my mother's womb, God has been working this. He chose me before the foundation of this earth to be His child. What a privilege that is! That's almost as big as the privilege of me choosing Brandy to be my wife. No, it's way bigger than that, isn't it? Here's the thing. He says we're chosen people because of the providence of God. A royal priesthood. Here's the thing. You know what I deserve to be? I deserve to be cast in hell for all eternity. I deserve to be judged for all of my sin. Watch this. Not only did He choose me by His mercy, by His grace, He made me royal. What? Royal. A royal priesthood for God that He chose before I ever knew. Because of His providence. Why would we not want to walk in His providence? Why would we settle for God's permissive will? Y'all are always begging God for His permissive will. Please, God, let me do this. Let me have this job. Please, God, can I have this house? Let me tell you this. God will let you have things you don't need when you just keep on whining about it. You don't believe me? Ask Israel. We want a king. You don't need a king. We want a king. You don't need a king. That was not His perfect will. Did it happen? Yeah, so we have to say it was God's will. Eventually, here's the thing. It was His permissive will. Because they kept on. He said, you want a king? Here's a king. Have it. You want success, you want your career, you want all the money in the world, get it, but I promise you this, it's not going to redeem you. You only redeem when God chooses you and makes you into that stranger who's of the royal priesthood of God through Jesus Christ, the royal priesthood. Stop and think about that for a second. Even if I was a servant outside of the house of God, I was the guy who swept the front porch. That'd be way more than I deserve. Are y'all with me? But He didn't say, you're now chosen to be the guy who sweeps my back porch or my front porch or the guy who cleans my laundry or the guy who milks my cows or picks my agriculture. You are a guy who was chosen by God, a lady who was chosen by God as a royal priesthood. Watch this. From the bloodline of Jesus Christ Himself extended to you only through the cross. That's okay. Don't get excited. I will. People of providence. Made and put together by the providential hand of God. Not the will of man. Once I tried to put my life together, by my own will. Anybody ever made that mistake? You had plans. I'm planning for the future. You know what I like to say to guys? What makes you think you have a future? Because my future's not here. So if us as strangers are planning for the future, are we planning for the hereafter? How many would agree that it is God's perfect will that we plan for the hereafter, not for the here? But you don't understand, preacher. I want to live life to the full. Well, you try to live life to the full with the things that the world has to offer. You call me up when it falls through. I'll be there for you. I'm going to point you right back to where somebody thankfully always pointed me, back to the cross of Jesus Christ, to that solid, firm foundation that we find only in Him. Because that's God's problem. He made us and put us together for His will. It's God's providential mercy and His mercy alone makes us into the people that God desires us to be. Precious Savior. People of the providence of God. Watch this. Here's the part I told you we'd get back to. A people of praise toward God. When's the last time you praised God for His providence? When's the last time you praised God for the things you didn't see that He did? Has anybody ever here ever done stupid things? Yeah? I remember our coach in high school would say that. We go for break. It didn't matter if it was summer break, spring break. Don't do anything stupid. Right? We heard it every time. Of course, here we were in the middle of summer break doing something stupid. And hear coach's voice. Don't do anything stupid. But here's the thing. How many times did the providential hand of God, His mercy, His grace, rescue me from the things that I hadn't seen? When's the last time you stopped praising for that? Thank you, God, for watching over me like you do. Praise toward God. Look at 9. That's that second part of verse 9. He says, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Watch this. Why? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Praise toward God. You know, that's the purpose for God showing you mercy. That's the purpose for God choosing you to save you sovereignly by His grace. Do you know that's His purpose? So that He will be praised. Isn't it sad that we live in an era of Christianity that people want the praise for themselves? Listen, I'm not a Debbie Downer, I promise you. When I talk about the fact that I don't deserve something, I really mean that. I don't deserve anything. You know why I do that? Because if I understand not deserving something, it causes me to be in a position of humility. When I'm in a position of humility, when I look to God, all I can do is praise Him. Not because of me, but because of Him and what He's done. So please understand that. He said, I've raised you up as this stranger, as this alien, through my mercy for one reason, to bring me praise. Whoa. People wonder all the time, wouldn't it be easier if, like, when we accept Christ and surrender to His grace on that day, He just took us home to heaven? That'd be the easy way out, wouldn't it? Huh? You know, He's never called us to live the easy way out. He wants to leave us here as a display of His power to all these lost people around us. When they see us as Christians go through a hard time, not to handle it like the world handles it, but to handle it like a stranger. You know what we do when we face a storm? What should we do as believers? We should praise God in the midst of that storm. We should be the people that when people are down and they don't know where to turn, they turn to us. Why? Because they know this. If we're not going to give them anything else, we're going to give them hope. And we're going to give them hope because we're praising God through the most adverse times in our life. That's what we're here to do, people. To bring praise to God. Jesus Himself said it. He said, do your good deeds before men. Why? So that they'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Do these things so that God can receive praise. Man, I wish we would see a group of people who were raised up in this church who are people of praise. Because I promise you, we could do this. We could open this church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Praise Him constantly. Just leave the door. Let's come on in. Let's praise Him. You want to praise Him? Get up here on the altar. Sing praise to Him. Pray to Him. Thank Him for what He's done. We do it all the time. We take these stones and we throw them in there. Hey, look, we're praising Him. We could do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Forever and still not do justice to who He is. He says, I'm raising you up as a people of praise. Praise toward God. It ought to be our proper response, shouldn't it? Anybody here receive grace and mercy from God that you didn't deserve? Let me hear you praise Him. No. That's our reaction, isn't it? Huh? You have more reaction when the Texans score a touchdown than when we talk about the grace and mercy that you've received in Jesus Christ. What's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, we don't believe the Word of God. Uh-oh, because you thought it said He's raising up a group of people to go, yeah, that's right. No, we ought to praise Him at the top of our lungs, shouldn't we? We ought to praise Him with all of our energy and all of our enthusiasm and all of our strength. And I know I'm a weirdo because I get up here and I'll praise Him and I'm not afraid to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me, because without you, I'm nothing. I deserve hell and I deserve death. But with you, I am a child of the King, sovereignly chosen by your grace. Thank you, Lord. You say, well, it's easy for you to do, Kirk, because you've been given a platform to do that. Here's the thing. So have you. It's called life. Life. And that's why you have new life in Christ. You have new life in Christ so that you can praise Him at the top of your lungs about the mercy that you received from Him that you didn't deserve. All you people who got upset with me because I yelled, oops, I'm sorry. I got excited. Pardon me. I got excited about God's grace and His mercy and the fact that He rescued me and made me a people when I wasn't a people. That He gave me mercy when I had not seen mercy. It ought to result in praise toward God. I long for the day. Long for the day. We don't have to encourage people to praise God. All we got to do is just get in there with them. And one day when we get to heaven, I know that's what it's going to be like. But can't we just practice a little bit while we're here? Huh? Can't we just practice what it's going to be like while we're here, just praising Him? With our lips, with our lives, with our energy, with our enthusiasm?
Yeah, you're just hardcore, man. I don't know about you.
Me neither, but man, isn't it good? Tell you what, I've been excited about a lot of things in life for nothing. I love being excited about Jesus Christ so that He can receive praise and honor and glory. Here's the thing. I know what happens. You see a guy praising the Lord, you do one of two things. He's crazy. Probably right. If I'm going to be crazy for something, I'm going to be crazy for Christ. You say he's crazy, or you say this, and you're not going to tell anybody you say this. Man, I wish I had a dose of that. Man, I wish I had a dose of that. I remember I'd sit there and see preachers that were fired up. Lord, I want a dose of that. I want to be that enthusiastic and that passionate about you. You know what happened? One day I woke up and I was. And here's the thing. I promise you, every one of you come at me right now, you ain't going to shut me up. You're not. That ought to be our heart as a Christian. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. Why? You remember when they tried to shut up His disciples? Hey, you got to tell them to stop praising you so loud. Uh-oh, them Baptist people like, loud? We're not supposed to get loud. Huh? They were praising Jesus too loud. It was offending people. It was bothering them. What did Jesus say? We often forget what He said. Here's what He said. You know what He said? He said, if I tell them to stop praising me, guess what? The very rocks are going to cry out. You say, what in the world does that mean? If you ask that question, you've never been hiking in the Rocky Mountains. I walked around the corner in the Rocky Mountains and I saw a mountain that I'd never put my eyes on before. My God. That I personally know, that personally rescued me through His own Son's blood, that my God set right there in place. When I walked around there and I saw that snow-capped thing with that sun shining behind it and that pretty sky, and I got to share that with my bride, I said, Lord, the rocks are crying out Your praise. Look how glorious You are, and I want to get in there with them. I want to get in there with them. You created that, and guess what? You recreated me in Christ. Why? To shout Your name, to shout Your glory. Roger, you're going to have to get better nails next time. Listen to me, folks. That's what He's telling us. That's our purpose. You say, well, I'm just quiet and reserved. You won't be when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. Praise for God, a people of praise for God. Last thing, and I'm done. He closes with this. Pay attention. I know, chicken's getting cold. I'm getting fired up. He says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. He's talking to the believers here. He's saying, man, abstain from those things that are warring against you, those things that you are battling all the time, that want to destroy you. How many of you know the wage of sin is death? You pick it up, you pick death up with it. You pick condemnation up with it. He says, abstain from these things. So He's telling us that not only are we to be a people of a precious Savior, a people of the providence of God, a people of praise toward God, a people of purity for God, a word that's not talked about very often. Purity. Here's the thing, I know what you think. Well, it's too late for me because I've done so much wrong. Hardy told you earlier, he says that if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Watch this, from that point on, you're pure again. Are you listening? You're as pure as the driven snow at that point. Here's the thing, what the Apostle Peter is teaching us here is walk in that, live in that, because there's sin that's waging war against you, there's things that are coming at you from all directions. Focus on being a people of purity for God. He said, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. He said, live a life. Proves them otherwise. Because here's the thing. Guess what old Kirk can do? Old Kirk can get up here and he can shout, he can scream, he can break his pulpit. But if the lost world doesn't see you living, it's just all a bunch of noise, isn't it? Huh? That's what he's saying. He's saying, live a life of purity for God. The things you say, the things you do, the things you put into your body, the things you participate in. Let those things be so pure that when the lost world looks at you and they want to accuse you of things, all they can do is say, praise God, He is what He says He is. Boy, wouldn't American Christianity change if we were what we said we were? I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, if I'm a follower of Jesus, and this is what Jesus looks like, I'm the exact polar opposite of that. Is that the truth? Wait, watch this. I'm a follower of Jesus. I said that at church. And then you take my life and it's the exact polar opposite of Jesus still? Am I still? No, I'm still not following Jesus, am I? Because what we often forget is Jesus followed the Father in obedience. So that even though, did you know they accused Him of things? They accused Him of things. They made false charges against Him. They had false trials. Sentenced Him to death. And the pagans that stood at His feet, that crucified Him, here's what they said. Surely He is the Son of God. They took note that this guy's not just a bunch of hot air. This guy follows God. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. You want people to see authentic Christianity in you? Stop just talking. Focus on purity. What does that mean? Here, it's easy. It's simple. God, not what I want in my life, but what You want. God, not what I want to partake of, but what You want me to partake of. God, not what I want to participate in, but what You want me to participate in. God, not my will, but Your will. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Right out of the mouth of Jesus. A people of purity. God's given us His mercy so that we can mirror His purity, the purity of Jesus Christ, to the pagans, the lost, and the dying in this world. Bring glory to Him. Purity brings praise to God from people who don't even know God. Why? Because if nothing else, they realize that is the opposite of man's natural nature. To do for others as they do for themselves. To love others like God loves others. Watch this. To forgive others as we've been forgiven. When we start practicing the things God has instructed us to practice, I promise you this, a lost world's going to go, man, why in the world would You forgive them? Why not? But they did this, 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 and this to you. Yeah, let me tell you my big long list of things that I did to Jesus that He forgave me of. I have no right to not forgive someone else. How could you love them after all they've done to you? Well, and here's the thing. Here's how I can love them after all they've done to me. Here's all the things I've done to Christ. And guess what? He still loves me. Oh, it all begins to make sense, doesn't it? When we simplify it, when we break it down, when we really look at it in black and white. So I ask you this as we close. If you truly have been rescued by God's mercy, and you truly are a stranger, is it displayed in the fact that you're a people who values the preciousness of Jesus Christ? Valuing the preciousness of Jesus Christ, listen, that's not limited to just Sunday morning. Or for you real spiritual people, Sunday evening. For you super spiritual people, you do Wednesday night. No, we're talking about a real Savior. And walking through this life, and that real Savior walking you into eternity with Him forever for His praise, His glory, and His honor. So ask yourself, yeah, I'm a stranger. I received mercy. But is Jesus precious to me? Do I live my life in the providence of God? Do you live your life in the worries and the fears of the flesh? You know, it's liberating to not worry about a thing. Let me tell you, I promise you, I make people nervous. I don't worry. I just say, whatever. Whatever. God's got it. He's in control. Hey, but you don't understand, the world's falling. The sky's falling. Okay, he'll catch it. Or he won't. But if it falls and it lands on me, I'm covered by Jesus, so I'm good. Are you trusting in the providence of God? Are you living a life of praise for God? Are you living a life of purity for God? You stand on your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed.